Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth interactive study of the Word of God. I'm glad you joined us today. We're in the middle of a series of studies on the gospel in Galatians. Today, the priority of the promise. I'm so thankful that God keeps all of His promises, aren't you?
Amen.
And we will be blessed today as we study about the priority of the promise. So welcome to Hope Sabbath School and welcome to the team. Good to be together again.
Yes.
I'm being blessed by this series, aren't you?
Yes.
I just feel a deeper love for Jesus, and I know that that's what God wants for me, and I know we'll be blessed today. I'm excited, too, because Kyle is going to be leading in our study today. And, you know, what's exciting to see members of our team teach is that God wants to raise up tens of thousands of in-depth interactive teachers around the world. So you can use the same outline that Kyle will use today, back to the same outline that we all have. You can go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS, and you can download that same outline and start an interactive Bible study in your community. That's really our prayer, is you watch this, be blessed, but then go out and share the word with other people. Well, I was happy to hear how you're doing that and how you're being blessed through a study of the Word of God. So thanks for writing to us. I hope you do that today. Make a note, one thing to do. sshope@hopetv.org. Here's a note from Kalle in Finland. Try to say Finland correctly. Thank you, Hope Sabbath School. I'm really blessed to watch your programs. Here in Finland, it's very dark and cold for a lot of the year. But because of your smiling faces and beautiful team, I feel like I'm in heaven.
Wow.
I didn't know we were that sweet. Thank you and God bless you all. His name is actually Kalojan from Finland, but he goes by Kalle. And I'm glad you wrote to us. And we're glad that God is raising up witnesses all over the world to share the truth about His love and His word. Alana writes from Colorado in the United States of America, says, I cannot put into words how much I've learned by watching Hope Sabbath School every day.
Amen.
So Alana's watching our daily broadcast. Mm-hmm. So we go through a whole series of studies in just a few weeks. Mm-hmm. I tape it and watch each episode more than once.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I feel closer to God than ever before.
Amen.
It's a powerful testimony, isn't it?
Amen.
You know, we don't always see. We know we've got more than a million people watching. We don't always hear. But when we hear, it just encourages us, doesn't
yes.
it?
Amen. Yes.
I have gained more understanding of God's Word. I've learned so much I didn't know about the Holy Spirit and having a Christ-like spirit and a living faith. I am now considering becoming a Seventh-day Adventist Christian.
Praise God.
Amen.
God's word is a lamp to our feet. We're so glad, Alana, that you wrote to us. We hope you'll write to us again the day of your baptism. Well, we will sing praises to God and give thanks to Him. Keep in touch with us. All right, from Uganda, Abain writes from Uganda, from Kampala. I want to take this opportunity to thank you for the work you're doing in spreading the word of God. Thank you so much for teaching me how to study. I am a teacher because of watching Hope Sabbath School.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're talking about, Kyle, right?
Yes.
Taking that outline and starting an interactive Bible study. I have much hope that we shall all meet in heaven soon.
Amen.
God bless you all. He lists your name, so he's getting to know you all by name. Your name is on that list, and he says thank you for sharing God's word. One note from Brazil. We have a Brazilian on our team, Juliana. Wave to the entire country of Brazil. Actually, this is an anonymous note, so the person will have to write back and tell me his or her name. But writes and says, I'm grateful to God for the life of those who promote Hope Sabbath School. It's helping many people to draw closer to God. I follow the program every week from here in Brazil. In addition to learning God's word, you know what the person is going to say, right?
Practicing English.
I'm learning English, too. But I'm learning it, and this really impacted me. I'm learning it in a healthy way, through singing scripture and the teaching of God's word, without having to watch television that has no spiritual benefit.
Amen.
That's profound, isn't it?
Yes.
May God bless the whole Hope Set Channel team. May we all be together on the great day when Jesus returns in glory. Amen?
Amen.
That's so powerful. And you know, that's really true, that If you're going to learn a language, why not learn a language where you're singing God's praise and learning the truth of His Word? One last note from Elton in Canada. He said, I enjoy being part of Hope Sabbath School. It opened my knowledge and understanding so clearly about our relationship with the Lord and the communication with the Spirit that I am now able to participate in my lesson study on Sabbath morning. Thank you all. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So we all can be involved, right? Amen. And maybe someday, Elton, maybe someday you'll download the outline and say, I'd be willing to teach an in-depth interactive class because you've been learning God's Word. That's God's prayer for each one of us, I know. The scripture song that we've chosen as a theme for this series on the gospel in Galatians, I don't know, it just touches my heart. Because it says, the Son of God loved me and gave Himself for me. It's from Galatians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. Many of you have already learned it. You can download the MP3 file, the sheet music from our website, hopetv.org/hopess. Maybe some of you want to make a recording singing and send it to us. We'd like to hear you sing, but we're all going to sing it together right now.
Crucified with Christ, I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I have been crucified with Christ. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. But Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of
promise.
Amen.
I just, you know, if that's the only text I remember from Paul's letter to the Galatians, I think it could change my heart, change my life. He gave Himself for me, and He wants to live in us, doesn't He?
Amen. Amen.
A whole new life.
Amen.
To walk in righteousness, not to earn His favor, not as a work of the law, but as a response to His grace. And Kyle, I'm excited as you teach the Word today of what God's going to share with us. So why don't you lead us in prayer?
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Derek. Well, I'm excited at what the Lord is going to do. I think that this is a very exciting study, the priority of the promise. But as we know, before we get into the Word, we need to pray, because it's only by His Spirit that we can rightly understand God's Word. So let's bow our heads and ask for God to speak to us today. Father in heaven, we want to pray just now that Your Holy Spirit would be present during this lesson study. Thank You, Lord, for each one of our Hope Sabbath School members around the world and for just the incredible testimonies that we hear of what You're doing in so many places, Lord. And we just thank You for Your Word and for the beautiful promises of Your Word. And today, our prayer is that You would speak to us, Father. Help us to learn something new and to be encouraged in our faith in Your Word today. We ask that You would be here, Lord, and empower us through Your Spirit is our prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
So today, we're talking about the priority of the promise. And how many of you just love the promises of God?
Amen.
Amen. I mean, when you think of the Bible, I mean, I don't know about you, but I get excited when I think of the promises of God. And we're going to see some powerful testimonies today in God's Word about how people that have followed God through the ages have followed Him, maybe when it sometimes seemed impossible, But nevertheless, they trusted in God's promises. And so I'm really looking forward to our study. And we're going to start off by looking at a couple texts that remind us that God, His word is true, and that we can trust in His promises. So let's start off with Isaiah chapter 46. We're going to go to verses 8 through 11. Isaiah chapter 46, 8 through 11. And Nicole, wondering if you can read that for us, starting off our study today.
Sure. Isaiah 46, verses 8 through 11 from the New International Version says, "Remember this, keep in mind, take it to heart, you rebels. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. From the east I summon a bird of prey, from a far-off land a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, that I will bring about. What I have planned, that I will do."
Amen. Amen. So what does that tell us? He says, I am God, there is no other. He says, my purposes will stand, right? What does that verse say to you when you read that verse? Yes.
That he's sovereign.
He's sovereign. Amen. Amen. So he does what he pleases. Amen. Peter.
I like another verse that kind of ties to that, where it says, so shall my word be that goes forth. It will accomplish the thing that I, what I please. It will not return to me void. And so I see God's creative ability here, that whatever he says comes to pass.
Amen. Yeah.
And you know, Kyle, and by the way, that's also in Isaiah, right, 55. Right. He won't just keep that promise.
Right.
Because he's sovereign, he'll keep all of his promises.
Amen.
So that challenges me to learn his promises.
Yes. Yeah.
Because he's going to keep them.
He's going to keep them. And it's not a question of if or maybe. It's a sure thing that God is going to keep his word. Because he is God. There is no other. Amen. So let's look at a couple other verses in Hebrews chapter 6. We'll go to verses 17 and 18. Hebrews chapter 6. And let's see what Paul says. He's about the promises of God. Hebrews chapter 6. And Ray, could you read those verses for us?
I'm reading from the New King James Version, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. "Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay a hold of the hope set before us."
Amen. Amen. So, Ray, tell us, what does this verse mean to you? What does this tell you about the trustworthiness of God?
Well, I love the fact that he says, you know, that he cannot, it's impossible for him to lie.
Yeah.
That word immutable means unchangeable.
Unchangeable.
Yeah. You know, so we live where people change and they don't keep their promises.
Mm. Right.
But there's another text, I am the Lord, I change not.
Amen. Mm.
So that immutability, it's kind of an unusual word we don't use very often, but unchangeableness.
That's right. Mm.
I think that we need to know that about God's promises.
I think we've all probably experienced people that are changeable. Mm. Maybe someone promised something to us and it didn't come to pass, but that's not the case with God.
Mm. Amen.
God says, I cannot lie. It is totally against his character. Andre.
I remember years ago, I bought a book in a Christian bookstore that said 1,001 things that God cannot do.
Wow.
So, you know, I had to buy it when I saw that.
Yeah,
and one of it had to do with that he never changed, that he will not change.
Amen.
Another one was, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen. Praise God.
I was like, man.
I love that promise, Andre. Peter, yes.
A little deeper on this, that God cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie, not just because it's against his character, but it's impossible because whatever he says is created.
Mm.
So he cannot lie. When he says something, it's in the word that he just spoke. Is
right.
that something? X, Y, Z, fill in the blank. So it's impossible for God to lie because whatever he says comes to pass.
That's right. He spoke our very world into existence.
Right.
That's true. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else have a text that reminds you that whatever God promises, he will do? Yes.
It's not a text. Some more say probably Derek will probably direct us where it goes. But the Old Testament promises that the Messiah was going to come.
Right.
And he was going to save us from all of our sins. And it's clear that that promise was kept. He came. And we are now the living evidence that he's going to save us from all of our sins.
Amen.
And so just in general, that's a promise that I love.
Praise God. Praise God. Yes, Juliana.
Think of the story of Noah with the rainbow.
Mm. Yes.
When the ark finally rests on the mountain, and then they all come out, and Noah offers the sacrifice, and then there's the rainbow, and God says, "This is my promise to you that I will never again destroy the earth with a flood."
Amen.
And every time I see a rainbow, you know, now we know a little bit more of the science behind it, of why it happens, but I don't think that it changes the symbology of it. God remembers.
God remembers. Mm-hmm. That's so beautiful. Every time you see that rainbow, you remember that his promises are true and always faithful.
Absolutely.
Amen. Yes. Gary.
I have a text.
Okay.
2 Peter 3, verse 9.
Okay. 2 Peter 3, verse 9.
Right, and it's in the same vein of as God keeping his promises. You know, sometimes it seems like we're holding on for a long time for a promise to come through. but I'll be reading from the New King James Version, 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So that verse is powerful. Mm-hmm. It tells us that God is not slack. In other words, he's not, you know, what he says he will do. Not like some of our people that we've known in our past that they have been slack concerning their promises, right? and not only that, he's long-suffering. So this is a powerful, yes.
It makes me think of the story of the children of Israel in Egypt when God told them to put the blood over the doorpost. And he made a promise that if they did this, their firstborn would be spared.
Yes.
And if I remember the story correctly, some Egyptians heard of it and did the same thing. And so his promise was not just limited to the children of Israel. It's to all that, in faith, stepped out and did what he told them to do.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Kyle, I really appreciate what Gary said, that God keeps all of his promises, but he does it in his timing.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, and sometimes we get impatient, like, God, you're not keeping your promise. But he will keep his promises.
Amen.
But he knows the perfect time. And I think that's really important to remember. Mm-hmm.
And it comes down to trust, doesn't it? Yeah. Because sometimes we don't see the end from the beginning. We don't discern God's purposes. But we know that he is working all things together for our good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a lot about what this lesson is about, trusting that God's promises are faithful. Lourdes.
Sometimes we're so blessed to have families and friends and people that loved us, and we trust them. But how much more should we trust God? Mm-hmm. He doesn't change. He doesn't. I mean, even if my loved ones, I mean, my mom passed away when I was 7 years old. Even though she wanted to take care of me, love me, being there. But the one thing that she left me is love God. And
Amen.
Her testimony
Amen.
Worked.
That's
so
awesome.
That's the same thing I want to do for the people I love. Mm-hmm. That I wish I can leave you money, I can leave you everything, mm-hmm. but if I can leave you God, then I know you'll be okay. And
Amen.
I'll see you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing that testimony, Lourdes. Mm. Is there any other... Actually, I'm going to go to you, Pastor Derek, because I know you have a story of someone who trusted in God's promises, even maybe when it was difficult to do so.
I was actually your age, so that's many years ago.
Oh.
But I was privileged to be at the bedside of a great man of God who was dying.
Mm.
And I began to read the promises of God to him. And I realized that the focus of this study, the priority of the promise is the salvation that will come
right.
to be received by faith.
Right.
That is the
right.
greatest promise.
Amen.
That's the whole thing, as Nicole said, all through Scripture, mm-hmm. that he wants to save us and be with us forever. I began to read the promises of God to this great man of God as he was laying there on his deathbed. Mm-hmm. And every promise I read, he repeated from memory with me.
Wow, mm. praise wow. God.
I could see his mouth moving and at times could hear him repeating those promises. But that's not what impacted me the most. Mm. As powerful as that was, I thought to myself, that's how I want to be.
Amen.
You know, there's an old gospel song, Standing on the Promises.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, I want to stand on the promises. But after I'd read all of these scriptures, he looked at me and he said, they're all true.
Amen.
They were all true. And I thought, that is so powerful. Wow. That was a gift to me.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
In his dying moments.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
They're all true, Derek, you know?
Amen.
And certainly that's, I think, certainly with the Apostle Paul, as we start thinking specifically about the promise that salvation will come by having faith that God will save you and taking hold of that promise, that God will be faithful to that.
Amen. That's a powerful story.
Yeah, I never forgot it, even though it was many years ago.
Amen, amen. To know that they are all true. It's not just, and I think all of us, we need to probably be more committed to memorizing more promises in our own minds, right?
I think we do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not only to memorize them, but to really believe and to know that God's word is true. Well, this is powerful. Anybody else, maybe one experience of a time when someone made a promise to you, okay? Someone made a promise to you and they kept it even though it wasn't easy. So this is like
if possible, I'd like to look at it the other way, where I made a promise to my daughter.
Okay.
And there was a songwriter, Gregory Isaacs, that said, "A promise is a comfort to a fool." And oftentimes we make promises to our children because we think that they'll forget, but they never forget. But then as the promise maker, circumstances, as my mother would always say, circumstances alter situations. So sometimes it's almost impossible to keep your promise. My daughter saw me go to England for 3 weeks to speak. And she called me while I was there and she said, "Daddy, the next time you go, can I come with you?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah, sure." Well, that next time was like 6 months later.
She didn't forget.
She got me like 2 weeks before I was leaving and she said, "Daddy, you said I got a new bag.
Oh,
Mommy took me shopping and I'm ready to go." So now I hadn't gotten a plane ticket. And then on top of that, she said, "When we go, I want to go to Paris too."
Oh.
And I was like, "Oh, yeah, sure, whatever." I'm thinking like 2-3 years down the line. And she's only 12 at the time, so I had to figure a way to get her a plane ticket on the same flight with me.
Wow.
I had to, when we got there, and she was like, "Okay, when are we going to," every day, "when are we going to Paris? When are we going to Paris?" And I looked at the flights from London to Paris. They were like $300-$400 because of the time of the year. So it would have been like $600 for both of us. And I was like, "I don't know how I'm going to make this happen." But I prayed and I said, "God, if you're a promise keeper, then I know that through Christ, all things are possible.
Amen.
So I can be a promise keeper too."
Amen.
And I found a bus.
Oh, whoa.
And I said, "Girl, it's going to be fun. You don't want to get on a plane?" And we got on that bus and rode through on the ferry and the tunnel and all that crazy stuff.
Wow.
And
nice.
Got to on the train when we got to France, to Paris. And we got to the Eiffel Tower. And as we stood up there and it was raining and cold, she had a smile from ear to ear.
Oh, wow.
And that made, as difficult as it was financially and otherwise to fulfill that promise. And
Amen.
We had to do it in 24 hours, mind you. I left that part out. We had to go there and get back in 24 hours. It just did my heart good to keep that promise, but
Amen.
It was difficult.
Amen. Praise God. I mean, that was an illustration to your daughter of how God keeps his promises to us. And, when God says to us, I mean, that's a trip to Paris. When God says to us, "I will come again to take you to be with me."
Right.
We can know that promise is true.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Those are not just empty words.
Amen.
Those are
Amen.
The promises of God. Anybody else? A time when someone made a promise to you and they kept it even though it wasn't easy. Yes, Juliana.
My mom never necessarily made the promise directly to me, but she kind of put it in her heart that I would go to Christian school. Mm. And my family situation is not such that both parents are in Christ, and it was hard sometimes, and she carried it on her own a lot of the time, and I did. I went to Christian school from first grade all the way through senior year, and I am changed because of it.
Praise God. Praise
and,
God.
You know, it's a promise that she made to me, not necessarily verbally, but in everything that she did.
Amen.
It made all the difference.
Wow. You know, that's touching to me personally, Juliana, because I had it written down here. My mom did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
She promised that we would go to Christian school, even though it was hard. I'm sure it wasn't easy because Christian school sometimes costs money and you have to make sacrifices. But my mom made that sacrifice to put me and my brother through Christian school. And I don't know where I would be today.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly wouldn't be here at Hope Sabbath School.
And, agreed.
I mean, literally. So, right. I mean, and that was hard for her to keep that promise. But that was an illustration for me and I think for you in your case of, our moms keeping their promises to us. And that's an illustration of God's love.
It is.
You know,
it's beautiful.
God keeps his promises to us. So I'm sure there are many other stories we could share on this, but we'll move on from here. And I think it's good for us now to kind of transition a little bit, and let's look at a biblical story. And this is one I think that we've studied in a previous lesson in this quarter already. These have been an exciting series of studies here, studying the book of Galatians. And there is a powerful story in the Old Testament, in the story of Abraham. And we want to look at what it was about the story of Abraham, because there's a lot of faith that Abraham had to follow God's promise, right? So let's first go to Galatians chapter 3, and let's look at Paul's referencing of this promise made to Abraham. Galatians chapter 3, verses 15 to 18, and I'm going to ask Jonathan if you could read that for us.
All right. I'll be reading from the New International Version. Brothers and sisters, let me take an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or add to a human covenant that has been duly established, so it is in this case. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person who is Christ. What I mean is this: the law introduced 430 years later does not set aside the covenant previously established by God, and thus do away with the promise. For if the inheritance depends upon the law, then it is no longer depends upon the promise, but God in his grace gave it to Abraham through a promise.
Hmm. This is a deep verse, or a deep few verses, right? We could spend a lot of time on these. And Jonathan, I know you're a deep Bible student, and so maybe you can help us understand what is Paul saying in these verses about the covenant promise, the law. There's a lot that's packed in here.
Yeah, there's a lot packed in there. I honestly have to take a little time to think about it, I guess. I think he's pointing at how much there was. You have Abraham, who was given this promise and this kind of foundation of being the father of the faith. And so he's talking about the seeds and talking about alluding to Christ. So there's a lot packed in there. Maybe I'll let other people kind of add to it. But there's a lot in there.
Clearly, he's making a promise. He's talking about the promise given to Abraham. And anybody else want to comment on this verse? Yes, Sean? Sorry.
So, I mean, looking at it, you know he's talking about Christ, and our salvation comes through Christ.
Amen.
And then as he jumps in and starts talking about the law, which was added later, which people think, oh, if I keep the law, I can be saved. He's saying, look, don't worry about that. Just because you have something that describes, you know, a standard doesn't mean that it is the standard, which is Christ. So if you think about it, I mean, I can have a car, you know, the car is the car, but the owner's manual is just describing it.
Right.
This is the thing that's going to get you from point A to point B. And I don't mean to call Christ the thing, but, you know, that's kind of how I see Paul elaborating on this.
Absolutely.
I think that what he's saying is that the promise of the Messiah was way before the law was given on Mount Sinai. That doesn't mean that the principles of God's government didn't precede the giving of the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai.
Right.
Because God has always had a government, and that government is run by principles of law. But he's saying that the promise has priority.
The promise has priority.
And he's going to go and he say the law was actually given to show us how much we needed the promise.
Right.
And once we've accepted the promise and taken hold of the Savior, the law then, it shows us how to live, but not to earn God's favor.
Yes. Right.
So I think he's going back and saying, you think Moses and Sinai was important, but Abraham, he's the father of your people, right?
Right.
The promise was given to him.
Amen. Right.
That's the priority of the promise.
And that's an important lesson for us, because sometimes we get that backwards, like the Galatians. We think about, and the law is good and important, but if we forget the reason behind the law, we won't keep the law for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back to the story of Abraham. You guys ready? Okay, we're going to go back to the story of Abraham again. Genesis chapter 15. And let's remember the promise that God gave to Abraham. This is such a powerful. I love this story. I just love the story of Abraham. Who would like to read for us Genesis chapter 15 and verse 5? Genesis chapter 15 and verse 5. Anybody? Yes, John.
So I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it says, "Then he brought him outside and said, 'Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them.'
And he said to him, so shall your descendants be.
Wow. Can you imagine that moment when God brings Abraham out of his tent into the, and I'm sure there's no lights in the city back then, right? It's pitch black, and you go out, and just, you guys have been there, you've gone out in the dark night, maybe you've been camping or something, and it's cold, the air is crisp, and you look up and you see the stars in that Milky Way, and you just can't even understand how many stars that are up there. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been overwhelmed when you look at the sky? Mm-hmm. Do you know how many stars are visible to the naked eye? Just, I looked it up, Pastor Derek, there are about 5,000 stars that are visible to the human eye. But do you know how many stars are in our sky that are visible? Like if you had a telescope. No. Anybody want to guess?
Billions.
Sean?
I'm only answering because some of this stuff I've studied and worked with, and I realized that you can't even count it. You know, you might put a number towards
it. Could put a number.
But the longer you look, the more you see.
Right.
And that's what's so great about this promise, because as time goes on, so many people will be added to the kingdom of God that you can't even understand right now, you know, what the impact will be.
I remember there's this place in, there's this planetarium in Los Angeles where they have what's called the Hubble Deep Field picture. And they have one picture, one part of the sky, which is like the size of your thumb if you look up in the sky in the night sky. And it has that one little section of the sky blown up into this huge wall. And when you blow it up, you can see literally thousands of galaxies that you couldn't see when you were just looking at that dark patch with, you know, that small space in the sky. There are 100 billion stars in our own galaxy, Milky Way, and then there's trillions of galaxies beyond that. So the point is, I think, on what you're saying is, God is telling Abraham that this promise I'm giving you is bigger than you can even see right now.
Right.
Like, you can only see a little bit, but there is so much beyond what you can't see as to what I'm going to do. Andre.
I mean, and when Sean said it, it struck me like a lightning bolt. Sean said, the more you look, the more you see. Mm-hmm. And when we really look at our lives and through the lens that God wants us to look through, we see that he has already answered and kept many of his promises already, and he has many more that he's going to fulfill. So the more we look, we need to have open eyes, open spiritual eyes, to see what God has already done and to be able to see what he's currently doing and will do.
Amen. 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 Praise God. Well, let's move on. I know our time is going here, but let's go to Genesis chapter 17. And, you know, God promised Abraham many times what he was going to do for him. And it was a struggle for Abraham to believe in that promise. And as I think was studied in a previous lesson, you know, you had the whole story of Hagar and Ishmael. And but here in Genesis 17, God is still promising Abraham. Let's just look at this. Daisy, can you read Genesis 17, verses 1 to 8 for us?
Sure. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. I will make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee to give you countless descendants. At this, Abraham fell face down on the ground. Then God said to him, this is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. What's more, I am changing your name. It will no longer be Abraham. Instead, you will be called Abraham, for you will be the father of many nations. I will make you extremely fruitful. Your descendants will become many nations, and kings will be among them. I will confirm my covenant with you and your descendants after you from generation to generation. This is the everlasting covenant. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. And I will give the entire land of Canaan, where you now live as a foreigner, to you and your descendants. It will be their possession forever, and I will be their God.
Amen. Now, this is amazing. I mean, it says in this first verse that Abraham was how old?
99.
I mean, that is beyond
our comprehension.
The normal age for childbearing, right? Sarah was old. It was a seemingly impossible promise, right? And yet, what does God promise Abraham in these verses?
Many descendants.
And you know, if I'm reading the text carefully, Kyle, he has already taken things into his own hands with Hagar and Ishmael.
Right.
So I'm just so thankful that God doesn't change his promise.
Amen.
Even when we do stupid things.
Yeah.
He comes back to us and says, will you please just take hold of my promise?
Amen.
Because, you know, we could look and idealize, but you read his life and he made a lot of mistakes.
He did.
He lied about things. And, yeah. You know, certainly with Hagar, I mean, that was deliberately stepping out of what God had said. Mm. And yet right after that, in chapter 17, the Lord comes to him again.
Amen.
I'm just thankful for the mercy of God.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm thankful that God doesn't give up on us.
Yes. Right.
You know, and I look at my own life and I think, man, how many times have I tried to take my own life into my own hands and do what I wanted to do and even gone against what I knew to do. And yet God still is merciful. Mm-hmm. And he still promises me, I want to bless you and I want to use you in my work.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
I just am so thankful for God's mercy. Mm-hmm. And you know, it didn't stop with Abraham. I mean, you think of the story of Jacob. The same thing happened. You know, he was trying to take it into his own hands, and God was so merciful with Jacob. and still, God accomplished his purpose. So,
can I go back?
Yeah, please, Peter. Yes.
You asked the question back in Galatians chapter 3, when we read that, what it meant about, especially verse 16, if I can read that again. Galatians 3, verse 16 especially, it says, this is the New King James Version. Now to Abraham and his seed, now it's a capital S on seed. It's not a lowercase s. Mm. Now, to Abraham and his seed, capital S, where the promise is made, he does not say unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed who is Christ. So these promises were made to Abraham and in Christ, and this is why it's not to a people like, you know, Jerusalem is waiting, the people are waiting for Israel to be reestablished. The promise wasn't made to a nation so much as to Abraham and to in Christ. We receive the promise in Christ. He's a father of the faithful. So when we come into Christ, then all of those promises are ours.
Our part.
In him.
Amen.
You know, I know time's going quickly.
Yeah, it is.
In our previous study, we read all about Mount Moriah. And so, you know, we don't need to read Genesis 22 again.
Right.
But the question that comes to my mind, and I know this is an important question for this study, is how do we develop the kind of relationship with God, that we really hold on to his promise, even when everything around us seems to say it's impossible.
Right.
Because that's what he does, right?
Yes.
Going to Mount Moriah, believing that his son will be raised from the dead if he dies there. How do we develop the kind of relationship where we recognize God's voice, where we believe his promises, and we hold on even when everything around us says it's impossible?
Yeah. That's a good. Anybody want to respond to that?
I mean, I think one of the first steps in that is that we have to see, it's necessary for us to see someone else in the faith community holding on to those promises and believing it.
True.
And so, like, when my father, I always talk about when my father taught me how to drive, he said, son, if you're in a storm and you can't see very well, but you still need to keep moving, he said, look at the lines in the road, follow the lines, make sure you're staying within the lines, and you will get to the other side of the storm. Because a lot of times, if you stop in the storm and give up, you might be rear-ended, all types of accidents happen. I never forgot that. And so by watching the example of others in this life full of storms, we can learn to stand on the promises by seeing how they, they're like the lines in the road, seeing how they, so that would be like a first step, I believe, in learning to hold on to.
Amen, amen, amen. Yes, Nancy.
And talking about the God of the impossible, it makes me think of Sarah when the visitors came, the heavenly visitors, and she laughed because they were saying that she was going to have a child, and she laughed. And then the response from the visitors, which was the Godhead that was there, or I don't know, Jesus, and is there anything impossible for God? No. And then it makes me think of Mary, the mother of Jesus, because when Gabriel came to her, it was the same sort of words. Is there anything impossible for God? No. So if we look at them as an example, I mean, Sarah was barren and Mary was a virgin, but nothing is impossible for God. If he wants them to have a baby,
he can accomplish
it. But it's interesting in those two cases, one laughs and the other says, let it be to me
according to thy will. Right.
So, I mean, that it didn't make sense to either of them.
No.
But one chose to say, I'm going to hold on.
Yes.
That God's what God says is true.
Amen.
you know?
Amen. And thankfully, you know, that's a good illustration because, or a good point, because God still worked through both women.
Mm-hmm. He did.
Even though Sarah had a harder time believing. And he actually, it's funny because, you know, the name Isaac, who was Sarah's son, actually means he laughs. So God was kind of poking Sarah back, I think, a little bit with the name Isaac. Because God knew, even though it seems impossible, his promises were able to be fulfilled. So, yes, Nicole.
I was just going to say that I think it also has to do with asking for understanding of testimonies within our own life. Because mm-hmm. I think that our own testimonies and hearing and understanding what God's doing in our life helps us to be stronger in having that faith. Because I think sometimes we miss what he's doing in our life. Mm. And if we ask him to please reveal to us what he's doing for us, then it strengthens our connection to him. And then we can follow those lines that are set out in front of us.
Amen. Mm. So I'm gonna direct this now because I know our time is really getting away here. But I want to ask you an important question. And if I could just think about this question. Is such strong faith, okay, such strong faith, like the faith to follow God's promises even when it seems impossible, is that a gift from God? Or can faith be strengthened as we exercise? Do you get what I'm saying? Is it a gift? Is it something you just get? Or can it be strengthened as you exercise that faith? What do you think? I'll go with Gary.
Is there a multiple choice, by the way?
No.
Can we choose all of the above?
A, B, C, or D, all of the above?
Choose all of the above.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, all of the above.
Okay.
I believe the Bible says this. I don't know where, but every man is given a measure of faith. Mm-hmm. But as you have that measure of faith, the more you exercise it, the bigger it gets, mm-hmm. I would think.
Yes. Okay. Amen. Amen. Yes, Peter.
You have... And also, you know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So not only... you know, the experiences that you have that kind of teach you faith, but also reading God's Word.
Amen.
And that grows your faith as well.
Just going to the human mind, the way we're set up, our neural pathways get stronger every time we use them.
Amen.
So they become like superhighways. You can either starve that superhighway and it'll die off, and neuroplasticity will allow you to develop another
That's
one.
That's a big word.
Yeah, big word. So okay. Big for me. But as we exercise our faith, we will begin to default to faith rather than to
Amen.
Fear
Amen. If,
every time we do it over and over again.
You know, someone said to me once that faith is the opposite of fear.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's true. I think we're, as humans, we're, you know, as sinful human beings, we often default to fear versus faith. But the more we get to know God and trust him, the more our response will be a response of faith.
In that verse about the measure of faith, Romans 12:3, right before it in verse 2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Mm-hmm. So I think faith is a gift of God, a miracle.
Yeah. Yes.
He gives to each one a measure of faith. But part of that new birth transformation is that faith does grow.
It does.
Like you were saying, as we exercise faith, our faith grows.
And I think it grows also by being in a relationship with someone, right?
Sure.
If I know someone more, I'm going to have more faith in them. And so maybe just quickly, is there an experience that one of you has that where you knew someone and knowing that person better enabled you to have more faith in a promise that they made to you? Everybody's stumped.
Well, I have one. I have one. I know I've shared already, but I was stranded at the Iloilo airport
in the
Philippines.
Oh, Philippines.
And I'd left my passport 45 minutes back, and I was traveling with a Christian man that I had known and come to love and trust, and I had no money, no ticket, no passport. I did not speak the language.
No money, no ticket, no passport.
He said, stay right here. I'll be back. And he disappeared.
Oh, wow.
He ran into the airport to try to get a ticket for me, a boarding pass, without having my ticket in his hand. And I'm left there on the side of the road thinking, no identity, no money, no ticket. All I have is a promise. Mm. I'll be back.
Mm. And
I could have had a cardiac arrest. But somehow I just said, I know David. I know, I trust him. Of course, I thought of Jesus, I will come again, you know, that promise. But I thought, I trust him, he'll be back. But, believing the promise, like you said, because I have that relationship.
Yeah.
That's what it is with God.
That's what it is with God. And I think when we look at the like people like Abraham, they had a relationship with
Absolutely.
God.
Absolutely.
That enabled them to believe the promise. Nicole has her
That's
hand
so
up.
That's so funny because... When I was in medical school, I took a trip to Indonesia. But when I got to Guam, my passport was not with me. So I couldn't go on from, actually in Hawaii, I went to Guam and I realized I didn't have a passport. And my sister said, I'm going to find it. I'm going to get it to you. And within 2 days, with the next flight that came into Guam going to Indonesia, my passport was on that plane. And I got on the plane after the plane had moved away a little bit, but I jumped over the, it doesn't matter. But anyway, but just to say that faith thing, yeah, I believe, and that helped me to realize my sister will be there for me no matter what, because she said she'd get it for me.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Guys, I'll take one more. Okay, really quick, Andre, I know he's burning.
There's a story of a little girl on a plane, and the plane was undergoing terrible turbulence as if it was going to crash.
Okay.
And the pilot came over the loudspeaker. It was a smaller plane. And he said, everyone, I promise you that we're going to get there safely. And so this lady was going crazy over what was happening. And this little girl next to her was just calm as ever. And the lady turned and said, how could you be so calm? She said, because my daddy's the pilot.
Amen.
And if he says we're going to get there.
We're going to get there. That's a powerful story.
Yeah.
It's a powerful story. So we know that this testimony or this story of Abraham reminds us that that Abraham believed God. And as it says there, we didn't read the text, but it says it was accredited to him as righteousness. It was counted to him as righteousness that he believed in the promise of God. Now, here's a question for you, because we've been talking about the law, salvation, when we look at Galatians, right? What is the greatest promise that any of us can ever have? Question. What's the greatest promise that God has given to any of us?
Salvation.
Yeah. What do you think?
Salvation through the sacrifice of Christ.
Right.
And you know, it's not just, at least for me, it's not just to live forever. That's not that great of a thought, but to live forever with Him.
Yes.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
With the one who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen. Amen.
You know, that's awesome.
Amen.
It's not just length of time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But and then it comes back to the relationship.
The relationship with him.
But the one who kept all of his promises.
The one who kept. Amen. Let's look at Galatians chapter 2 and just look at this verse as we think about the free gift of God received by faith. Galatians chapter 2 verses 20 and 21. And let's see, who would like to read that for us? Alyssa, could you read for us Galatians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21?
Yep, I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. For if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there would be no need for Christ to die.
Amen. So this verse tells us what? That we live by faith in the Son of God, mm-hmm. who loved us, who gave himself for us. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Faith is believing in the promise, yes. Right?
This is a powerful verse. It's the promise call, not only of salvation, but of a whole new life.
A whole new life.
Yeah. Christ lives in me.
Amen.
That's, he said, by his spirit, right? That Christ would live in me, and somehow that I'm not only redeemed from death, but from the dominion of sin.
Yeah.
And from the devil. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a whole new life. And to me, that when you think about the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen.
I just want to please him.
Amen.
I just want my life to please him.
To be in harmony with his will. So on that note, if we want our lives to be in harmony with his will, we want to please him, what are we going to want to do? And I'm getting at the relationship between the law and faith here, right? Because this is the issue in Galatians. Mm-hmm. Let's look at Romans chapter 7, verses 7 and 12. And we'll go there quickly. Romans chapter 7. And let's see here. Who would like to read this? Nancy, could you read Romans 7 for us?
Just a second. Romans 7.
Chapter 7, and we're looking at verse 7 and then also verse 12.
Okay, Romans 7, 7 and 12. This is the New King James. And it reads, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, 'You shall not covet.' And then which one?
12. Verse 12.
Therefore, the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good.
Amen. So as we think about the covenant promise, what is the purpose of the law according to what Paul is saying here in Romans chapter 7?
To show us ourselves. It's like a mirror.
Right.
To reveal our need.
It's almost like you don't know if you're dirty unless you look in a mirror, right? Mm-hmm. You could have dirt all over your face and you won't know until you look in a mirror. Alyssa?
It's like the diagnosis. It's the sin that's causing the death. But then the law is saying, look, you have this in your life. And if you don't allow God to cut it out or to take care of it, it's going to ultimately kill you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Yes, Nicole.
I was going to say, if Christ lives in us, then the law becomes a lifestyle. It's something that it's almost easy to do because Christ is actually within us and he could not break the law. Mm-hmm. So it becomes our lifestyle and our practice to just be doing the law versus, oh, I have to. It's almost like I just am.
Amen. So the law is important because it points out our transgression and it points out the things that we need to know to change. But there's got to be more because there's a power in the promise. Lourdes?
Oh. Well, the way I was saying it is, like, when you have children and their parents are there, they're well-behaved and everything, and because they fear the parents. But maybe when the parents are away, they're misbehaved. But then you have the child when maybe the parent might not be around them, but they still behave because they love them. They don't want to hurt them. Mm-hmm. So the way I'll see is I don't want to do it because I'm afraid what God will do to me, but I don't want to hurt God's heart. Mm-hmm. And because of love, whether someone's looking at me or not, I want to serve Him. And I want to, out of love, I don't want to hurt God's heart.
Amen. So the law tells us where we're off, but we want to follow Him because we want to love Him. We don't want to hurt Him. Amen.
You know, I really appreciate what Lord has said. I think the new heart when Christ lives in me, the psalmist prays, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your life.
Yes. Mm.
So that which simply condemned me because I was out of harmony with God and living in sin, all of a sudden now God's word is a lamp and a light to my feet. But I'm not trying to do it to earn His favor.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And I love that wonderful things. I was looking at that. The Hebrew word for wonderful things is pala. And it actually means so wonderful that it's impossible to keep it of your own. Mm-hmm. So the only way to keep the wonderful, as we look at the law of God, it's a transcript of His character of love. Mm-hmm. Yes. The only way that we can keep the law of God is through His power working in us, through His transforming power, through beholding His love. Nancy?
I have a text. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I think it ties both ideas in because when we love someone, we want to do what pleases them. But it's only through relationship when we love someone that we'll want to do His commandments. So, and I can't remember where it's John.
John chapter 14, I think verse 15.
Yes, with reading.
Love me,
I think we should read it. Can we just turn there real quick? John chapter 14 and verse 15.
It ties it all together.
It really does. Yeah. Thank you for bringing that text, Nancy.
John 14, where is it?
Verse 15.
Oh, yeah. So it reads, and this is the New King James, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Amen. Amen.
And you know, in some translations, Kyle, it actually, it can either be as an imperative, keep, or it can be as a present tense, indicative. In other words, it can be translated either, if you love me, keep my commandments, or if you love me, you will keep my commandments.
Mm, amen, amen. Mm.
That's an interesting option, isn't it? Mm. If you love me, you talk about the promise.
Yes.
If you love me, you will keep my commandments.
That's an incredible promise.
You know?
That tells me that if I love God by His grace, that I will be enabled to keep His commandments.
Exactly. It is a promise, not just a command.
And it's not like I'm keeping them out of my own grit, like I'm going to keep His commandments. It's by His love that I'm able to keep them. That's powerful. Sean?
I was just thinking about it, and as we talk about His commandments, His law, as a description of His character, and like you were saying earlier, it's not just keeping the commandments, but you're actually keeping His character. The character that He's putting inside of you, you're going to cherish it and hold on to it because you love Him, and that's who you want to spend eternity
Amen.
With.
Amen. Amen.
Andre,
Further with what Sean is saying, the word reveal came to mind. So we're revealing His character. And when we look at the law and it points out, it reveals sin, it all, you know, it reveals, but it also shows how much we lack love.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so.
We're almost at the end of our study now, but just as we're closing, someone's out there watching our Hope Sabbath School broadcast today. Just let's share some encouragement with those that are out there. Maybe just let's encourage each other in the promises of God. Nicole?
John 14:3 always encourages me because God says in that text that, I can read it if you want, but it basically says that he's preparing a place for
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
And where he is, he wants us. And so he's going to come back and get us and take us to be with him forever.
Amen. I mean, that's the greatest promise. One day, we're going to be with him forever. Mm-hmm. And that's not a maybe. That's not an if. That is a promise that God is coming back. And I just want to, just as we close, just remind everyone today that whatever impossible situation you may be facing in your life, you may be facing a personal challenge. Your family may be going through some hard times. You may not be sure what God wants you to do with your life. My friend, God promises you that he knows the plans he has for you.
Yeah.
He's promised you so much. And he wants us to believe his promises and to trust him with all of our hearts. And so I think that's the appeal today, is that we trust him with our lives and we believe that he is going to work all things together for good. And ultimately, he's coming home to take us to be with him very soon.
Amen. Thanks so much, Kyle. And you know, the greatest promise is that he wants to save us.
Mm-hmm.
And Abraham believed that, and we do too. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
And I just want to encourage you, as you've been watching our program today, do not believe that the promises are just for other people.
Yes. Mm.
God's promises are for you.
Amen.
And that promise that Paul talks about in Galatians, that God is going to save us through the Messiah who will come.
Amen.
He has come now. And we can trust him to save us.
Amen. Amen.
And I want to appeal to you. Maybe you are watching and you say, I've never asked Jesus to save me. Would you ask him today?
Mm-hmm.
And say, Jesus, I want to take hold of your promise.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I know angels would sing if someone today would say, Jesus, would you save me?
Amen.
If you love the world and you wanted to save the world, that includes me. So I want to just say yes to you now. And for those of us who've accepted you, Jesus, as our Savior, bring to our mind someone that we can share this good news with who needs to hear, that they may also know you love them too. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. Kyle, thanks for a great study. The Word of God is so powerful.
Amen.
Like a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. The promises of God all find their yes in Jesus.
Amen.
Believe his promise to save you. And go out and share those promises with those around you.
Amen.